Be reading James chapter 1, 19 through 21. And if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is God's word. You may be seated. One of the important distinctives of Christianity is that we have a God who has spoken to us. Christianity is not a philosophy of thought that is merely a system which man sat down and contrived himself. It's not like Aristotle was sitting one day and came up with this philosophy. But God himself has actually spoken to us in his word. Now, we generally, what we like to do is we talk about two different types of revelation, two different ways in which God communicates with his creatures. The first one is what we call general revelation. And so general revelation is the creation itself teaches us about God. When we are doing science, for example, as many of the earlier scientists, not many today, but many of the earlier scientists would see that we are thinking God's thoughts after him. When we understand the creation, all that God has made, we're learning about the very character and nature of God in what he has created. And so God has given us a revelation of himself so that men are without excuse, so that the heavens declare his glory and the sky is handiwork, as Psalm 19 says, so that men are without excuse, that God has given us a revelation of himself. So there's general revelation. But what we're wanting to emphasize and talk about today is special revelation, that God has given us a written word, and we believe that that we know God because he has made himself known to us through his scriptures. There is a special revelation that tells us about his plan of salvation, about his acts of providence, about all that he has wanted us to know. There's 66 books in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, and we have here before us God has spoken to his people. And so it's a blessed thing to know that God has given us a revelation of himself. I've mentioned this before here, but I know when I meet with people, and probably the most common thing that people will say and will give as an answer about what, if you ask them, hey, are you religious? Are you not religious? One of the most common things that people will say is, well, I am spiritual. The people have a real sense of spirituality and they want to be spiritual. They want to connect to the universe, that the universe is big and there's got to be something special out there. And so I've got this spiritual sense about me. But rarely do people want to talk about what they would call organized religion. If it's organized religion, they don't want anything to do with it. Well, we believe that God has spoken to us. He's given a revelation. This is God's revelation of who he is. That it's not just merely we're being spiritual, it's that God has given us his truth, and that truth transforms us. It changes us. So this morning what I want to do, and the brief time that we have today, is I want to just review the first couple of verses leading up to the section that we're dealing with today, because I think it's very important. It really speaks, it's important to help us understand the text that is in front of us. So if you're just looking back in James here, just really, I'm just going back to verse 18. There James says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, and that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. So when we think about coming to faith in Christ, according to what James says here, he says it's of his own will that he brought us forth by the word of truth, that he has brought us forth, and the means by which he has done so is by the word of truth. If you think about your conversion experience and think about when you came to know Christ, I can remember my conversion experience. I remember sitting there and listening to the pastor on a Sunday morning. I was 7 years old, and I was terrified of the wrath of God. That's my recollection of being a seven-year-old, and I knew that I wanted to be rescued. I knew that I wanted to be saved from God's judgment, and it was through my mother, actually, who shared the gospel. I shared the hope that I could have in Jesus Christ. My understanding was very small, but I will say that even at that young age, that the Word of God was there, that was being preached, and I was hearing it, and it was by means even in my own life where the Word of God came forth. And maybe you can think of the person who was willing to share the gospel with you, or the time that you first heard and received the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what James says here is he says that it's of his own will that he brought us forth by the word of truth. The ministry of the word of God in our lives, I mean, they had it from the very beginning. It's the Spirit of God and His Word that changes us. Salvation, James 1:18 makes it clear that salvation is God imparting new life through His Word of truth. And that He brings us from spiritual death to spiritual life. And the Word of God plays an important role in that. God calls us just the way that we are. He calls us in our sins, but He doesn't leave us in our sins. He doesn't leave us in our rebellious state. He has called us in order to change us, to justify us, to make us right before God. But He also changes our hearts and our lives. And just as a calling comes through the Word of God, so the changing that happens in our life, the being transformed into the image of Christ, also comes about through the word of God. A newborn baby gives clear evidence that he is alive and well, and also a new believer gives evidence of new life in Christ. There is a desire to change. The Bible, as we said earlier, describes us as enmity with God. We are dead in our sins. We are alienated from God. But the one who has been born again now loves his Savior. He is reconciled to God, has a heart that is receptive to God's truth. And why is that? Why does James say that is? It is by his will. It is by God's will that he has brought us from death to life by means of his word. It's by his will that he has accomplished this for us. So how do you respond as a believer to the word of truth? Do you have a heart for God's word? Do you receive with meekness the implanted word? Let us seek to answer these questions in our own hearts this morning. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The know this refers back to the truths that James has just expressed, which is why I wanted to just briefly cover those. The general truth of the power of the word is in the word in the regenerating of believers, is that James is making a transition in emphasis. Because we have experienced the transforming power of God and have been made new creatures, we are to continually submit to his word, allowing it to continue its divine work in our lives. And again, James writes, as he does often here in this letter, he writes to the scattered children here as beloved brothers. It is out of concern and love that he is writing to them these things. And James gives three important commands for the believer who is willing to receive God's word with humility. So the first command here is let everyone be quick to hear. Now here's the question for you this morning. Do we need to cultivate in ourselves in being a good listener? Is it good to be a good listener? One of the things that I do in my job is I listen. And I have to actively listen. If I don't actively listen, then I miss what the person is saying, and that's not a good thing to have happen. If somebody's sharing things that are important to me, and so actively listening means that when I'm listening to them, I'm thinking of the right questions to ask them to help them resolve their issues that they may be going through, and so I try to be an active listen. And so it is important to listen. Okay, but I don't think that's what James is saying here. So all that to say, I don't think that's what James is saying here. Sorry. I think that James is saying something a little bit different than that we need to cultivate good listening skills in our life. Although we do need to cultivate good listening skills in our life. I think there's more to what he is saying here. Being quick to hear is not referring to our listening skills, but rather to how we are responding to the word of God. And the reason for thinking this is what we just read in verse 19. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. And so you look at, leading back to the know again, is going back to the former context. And you look at the end of this little section that we're dealing with, when he continues to say, and receive with meekness the implanted word. But I think that in mind here, what James has in mind is the word of God, is the truth of God here, seems to be the context. So when he says, let every person be quick to hear, it is that we need to be quick to hear and to listen to what God has said. If God has given us new life through his word, our hearts need to be receptive to his word. Our hearts need to be quick to hear what he has said. John chapter 8 verse 47 says, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Now these Jews had heard the sound of Christ's words, but they could not understand them. And this is because they were not born of God. That if we've been born of God by the word of truth, we need to be, James I think is continuing on to say, that we need to be quick to hear those words of truth. The reason why those Jews that were in Christ's hearing did not hear the words of God is because they lacked the ability to understand spiritual truth. They were, again, as we have said, they were at enmity with God. They may, by their works and their outward deeds, may have tried to show that they were righteous and holy, but they were had no heart for the things of God. They were spiritually dead in their sins. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. To be a person who is quick to hear is one who has been born again, whose heart is receptive to the word of God. If you have your Bibles, just turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Just to give the full context here, read verses 1 through 3. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. One of the great blessings that I have right now, okay, I don't have it right now because my newest grandbaby is being breastfed. But the baby before that, my grandbaby, and I was able to witness it, and with all my kids, it was bottle fed. And you just know that when you go and a baby is hungry and you go to put the bottle in the baby's mouth, that baby grabs a hold and is just very happy to enjoy the milk that is coming out of that bottle. And of course, it fills the baby's stomach up, and the crying that was happening then goes away. But I can remember taking a crying baby out of the crib, even when I was a younger father, and the child would latch on to that and like there was no tomorrow. I mean, just hold on to that bottle. And God's word is the agent that God uses to change his life and our lives. Do we grab hold of, do we lay hold of his word? Do we lay hold of his truths? As Peter says, like newborn infants long for the spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And I'll tell you just something that's so important here to what James is saying and what Peter is saying. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Have you experienced salvation, the experienced spiritual birth, the new life that is given by the Spirit of God? When you have passed from spiritual death to spiritual life and you've seen that the Lord is good, it really, the Word of God, when you hear God's Word and you hear it read, or you take the time to read through God's Word, it is, to me, one of the most pleasant things to see and to hear. One of the things that I enjoy is when I'm out in public or I'm somewhere and I see the Word of God and you hear it, maybe it's shared, maybe it's read. I'm not a fan of having it read out of context, but that happens a lot too, especially in our culture. But I have, it's such a blessing to hear God's Word. And so it is, again, the Word of God that transforms us, that changes us. And if we have tasted that the Lord is good, may we be like newborn infants who are quick to hear what God has to say. James goes on to say, going back to James, next he says, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. So I believe the context here first applies to the need to be slow to speak as a teacher of God's word. This is a theme that James is going to continue later on in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, when he talks about especially of those who are teachers. Proverbs 17, verse 28 says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. James is not keeping us from interacting with God's word and asking questions. What I think he is confronting here is one who is quick to argue with the Lord, quick to speak, maybe trying to find excuses with why this does not apply to them. Receiving the word with meekness is receiving the word of God like Samuel did. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I really like that last psalm that we sang. I don't have the words memorized, but speak, O Lord, may we hear your voice. I mean, we are here to receive the words of God, to be quick to listen to what God's word says. Quick to hear the word of truth. And slow to speak. James continues here. He says, slow to anger. Thirdly, the believer who is willing to receive the word with meekness must be slow to anger. Anger, according to one writer, does not refer to an explosive outburst of temper, but to an inner deep resentment that seethes and smolders, often unnoticed by others. It is therefore an anger that only the Lord and the believer know about. Therefore, it is a special danger that it can be privately harbored. Now, in this context, it seems that anger is speaking particularly about anger at a truth in the Word of God that does not quite fit us. It could be that it confronts sin in our life or goes against a personal belief that we hold on to. There are things in our lives that we do hold on to. The Word of God confronts that. I've seen that in conversations I've had with individuals, and I even know that in myself, that there are things that we think that things are like this, and it just seems practical that things should be like this, but yet the Word of God confronts us. It confronts us with the truth, and how do we respond? Are we slow? Are we slow to anger? How do you respond when the Bible steps on our toes? We might be sitting at home. We need it, and all of a sudden it confronts us. God's truth speaks differently than the way that we have been thinking or living. What is our response? Kent Hughes writes, an angry spirit is never listening. A teachable spirit. We need to have a teachable spirit. James 1:20 gives the reason that we should be slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If you want to grow in righteousness, stop. We need to stop fighting God's word, and we need to submit to what God's word has to say. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, if you have been brought from spiritual death to spiritual life, how can we not receive all that God has said to us? I want to tell you that I believe everything from Genesis to Revelation is God's word to his people, and we need to embrace every bit of it. As Paul says to Timothy, that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, correction, for rebuke, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture, both Old and New Testament, is profitable. And so, how do we respond to these truths of God's word? Do we receive them? How do we receive them? James 1:21 continues to say, therefore put all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Therefore links verse 21 as the conclusion of verses 19 and 20. Therefore, putting away and putting aside is a term for used for taking off filthy clothes. A receptive heart to the word of God clears out the filthiness. So it really is putting away that filthiness and to receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save our souls. I think that what James is saying here is very similar to the way that Paul puts it in Ephesians 4:22, when he says to put off the old self and put on the new self. We all bring baggage from our old way of life into the Christian life. And so we're to put that off and to put on the new self. I hope that as you walk with Christ that you will come under the conviction about the areas of sin in our life. The fight with sin is a very hard thing to do. We recognize the challenges of our own flesh. By the grace of God that is at work within us, we must confess and forsake sin. We should never be content to just wear the dirty clothes that we used to wear. We cannot become apathetic when it comes to dealing with sin in our lives. We need to remember that what our Lord went through so that we can see better and understand how wicked and vile sin truly is. And I think this is something that's very important for us to understand what filthiness, what wretchedness, what sin is. It is rebellion against the Lord. And God has saved us from that rebellion. And so as God's people, do we receive with meekness the implanted word? To do so, we need to take off the old clothes, as James says, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. Let us not continue to wear those clothes. I know we're going to sing a hymn here shortly, and we haven't sung it yet, but I just love it's either the second or the third line in that hymn, stricken, smitten, and forsaken. The line, I'm just paraphrasing here, but the line goes something like this. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate, mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load, Christ the Lord's anointed, Son of Man, Son of God. That was a paraphrase, but I think that you get the point. We need to see sin for what it is, and see the wickedness for what it is, and it's the Word of God that was, we receive it with meekness. It has a transforming power by the Spirit and Word that happens in our, that works in our lives, that there is a working to make us more like Christ. But we have to see sin for what it is and consider the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. So finally, James declares that the true believers willingly receive God's word with meekness. The reception of God's word is contrasted with the anger of man that does not produce the righteousness of God. The word translated meekness here is literally mildness of disposition, a gentleness of spirit. According to Douglas Moo, when James says that the word implanted is able to save your souls, he is viewing salvation as the entire process of the Christian life, culminating in our ultimate deliverance from sin and death, and takes place at the time of Christ's return in glory. The picture here is that of the parable of the sower. You remember the parable of the sower, where the sower is scattering the word of God and it lands on various soils. And the soil that receives the word of God bears fruit. And one will become, and other kinds of the other kinds of soil are unproductive. And once a seed falls into the good soil, it still needs to be nurtured in order to bear fruit. The seed must be watered and the weeds must be pulled. It must be protected from the birds and from the trampling, being trampled underfoot. But it is received with meekness. And that's how we are to receive with meekness the implanted word of God. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Have we done this to our hearts lately? Have we checked our hearts? Are we apathetic to the word of God? Are we apathetic to God's revelation to us? Do we receive God's word with meekness and gentleness? Do we receive everything that it has to say? Do we like some parts of God's word? This is something I struggle with. We like some parts of God's word, and the other parts we might ignore. But we are called, and the Bible's a big book. I mean, it really is big, and there's a lot to know and a lot to read. And I think it's important as Christians that we are diligent to reading God's word, to be a faithful stewards of what God's word says, from all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Doesn't mean we're going to have all the answers, because there's a lot there, and there's a lot of mystery in God's word. There's some passages that are more difficult than others, as Peter said, that some of the things that Paul wrote were a little on the difficult side. But there is a call as God's people to, with meekness, receive the implanted word of God, to receive it, and to put aside all filthiness, and let's not resist what God's word says here. In humility, receive the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. It's able to deliver us. And we're called to live our lives in obedience to what God has said. In closing this morning, and this doesn't close our whole service, but this part of our service, I just want to read the passage again and have us listen to what James says here. And I want to begin in verse 18. And just hear the word of God. "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the time of fellowship that we have this morning to consider and to reflect on what it says. Lord, I ask that you would give us hearts that are receptive to the truths that are here, contained here, that our lives would be lived by this word. Lord, we recognize and confess that the thoughts, the philosophies, the ideas that are out in our society today, there are many competing philosophies that seek to grab our attention, Lord. But may our hearts receive again with meekness, with gentleness, the implanted word of God, which is able to save our souls, because the culture cannot save. This world cannot save us, Lord, but you have, and you can save us. And you have brought us again to a place of a living hope by your word, by your will. You have saved us, and it's through the means of your word, and we thank you for that. Thank you for our time. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.